Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, as per usual, is the GOAT, the big man himself, the legally distinct animal, Zach Batista. Zach, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. I liked it this week.
Yeah, I'm on, I kind of had them, I had more ready than usual. It wasn't as off the cuff this time.
It's always good to be prepared, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you're not, you can't be the animal, because that's copyrighted, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You could
well,
be,
the man that shares my
you
name.
Could be the creature.
The creature, okay. I'll take it.
All right, six.
How pumped are you that it's finally hitting spring/summer weather finally?
I don't care for summer weather that much. I'd prefer it to stay spring forever. Spring, I would just go spring, fall, and that's it. Like, winter and summer can go fuck themselves for all I care.
The extreme ones are just, like, awful.
Winter and summer can get bent. But, like, give me spring and fall all the time. I don't want to have, like, I hate winter because I hate wearing a ton of jackets because I sweat very easily. So when I wear a jacket and then I go to take it off when I get into the place, I'm already gross, which I hate.
Preach. My hands sweat like gnome tomorrow and so do my feet.
Yeah, I already
really
hate
off-putting.
It. Summer is the same thing. It's just that no matter what I'm wearing, I sweat anyway because it's so fucking hot.
It's just inevitable.
Yeah. So it's like winter. I prefer to be cold rather than hot. So I like winter more than summer. But if I had the option, they can both get the heck out. And I would just stick with like, give me like 40 degrees to like 65 degrees all the time and I'm happy. Like
fair enough, good medium,
or like top 75. Once it gets past 75 is what I'm like, nope, I'm done, that's too hot.
Reject the heat.
Like 75 is my max temperature that I can enjoy, and like I think like 40 is the lowest I can get without being okay with it.
That makes sense. Oh, I've got some pretty good matches this week.
Yeah. I mean, what about you? What would you do? Are you excited for the, you asked me if I was excited for the summer spring weather. Are you excited for the summer spring weather?
I love all the months. I'm more of a fall is definitely the GOAT season for me.
Yeah. All right.
But if I were to say,
after my own heart, fall is absolutely
fall
the GOAT
is the best.
Season.
Easily. I like summer and winter at times. It's just there are factors in them that get me. Like, for instance, I like spring. Spring is pretty good. The thing I like about summer is, like, it's hot. I get to wear my tank tops and my sandals, and I don't have to be
covered up.
Sun's
out, guns out.
All of it. Exactly.
I got a tank top on right now.
Except for when New Jersey decides it wants to be fucking humid. And then it feels like I'm swimming through the air. That's uncomfortable and gross. And in the winter, it's like, oh, I like it when it's nice and chilly. I don't mind the cold too much. When it becomes windy and the cold is physically fighting me when I'm outside, that's when I'm like, all right, Winter, you can leave now. I'm done with you now. This relationship's done.
Oh, I am all for Winter, and then the second I have to shovel my sidewalk, I am immediately like, all right, Winter, you can get fucked. Get out of here.
Is also
you're
the
done.
Deal
I'm
breaker.
Over it.
It's not fun waking up at 8 a.m. and having to shovel out your driveway so you can fucking leave.
It's like for me, it's like I look out the window and like, for like maybe like a minute, my brain is like, "Oh, look at the pretty snow," and then I'm like, and then it immediately switches to, "Oh, I have to shovel that."
Yep, like, yep, exactly. That moment when you're either I don't know, you, my parents are like, "All right, go to shovel that." I'll be out in a second. I'll be like, "All right."
Yeah, it's like basically like my dad like wakes up mad early. He gets to get to shoveling too. He like wakes up at like 7 and he like bangs on my door. He's like, "All right, time to shovel." I'm like,
"Get this shit over with."
Yeah,
fuck this stupid
like,
snow.
Oh, okay, I'm dying. I was up to like 2 in the morning playing video games last night.
Why?
Anyway, how are you feeling about your matches this week? I think I got some good ones.
Pretty good. I have one that I was very pleased with, and one that I was like, all right, that was pretty good.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Same here. I'm in the same boat. I got some pretty decent ones. I think one surprised me. I will say,
ooh.
One surprised me, and the other lived up to expectations.
Oh boy, I wonder if those are good or bad expectations. Let's find out
who went first last week.
Let me think. Let's see, I gave you that. I believe that I went first last week.
All right, so that means I will kick us off. Right. You know what, let's just get right into it. I'm gonna kick us off with the match that kind of that exceeded my expectations here.
Okay,
we got a match from Eve, Riot Girls Wrestling.
Good promotion already.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got Heidi Katrina, I believe it was the English Amazon is her nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Take it on Mercedes Blaze.
Ooh, Mercedes. Oh, shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This was a solid match. The beginning is so funny because Katrina is, like, playing to the crowd. Mm-hmm. And then Mercedes Blaze comes up behind her and, like, hits an elbow on her at the back of her head. And Katrina just no-sells it.
Like, oh, my God. Oh, she no-sells?
She just no-sells it. Turns around, like, stone-faced. And then Blaze just keeps hitting her with elbows. And I'm just going to quote the commentator on this one. Katrina is selling the strikes less than... selling the strikes less than Blockbuster.
Oh. Oh,
he was like Katrina
joke.
Is selling less than Blockbuster right now.
God bless that commentator for the Blockbuster reference. God,
so good. After these fruitless elbows, Blaze goes to like Blaze is pissed, so she goes to run the ropes to hit like a big clothesline. But as she does, Katrina just absolutely knocks her back across the ring with a drop kick.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Blaze just like gets the hell out of Dodge, and she's like, "I need a timeout. I need a break."
When the face no-sells your offense, and then you get kicked out of the ring.
Mm-hmm. She's like, "Hold on, this sucks.
This is ass. I need a restart. Refresh the match."
Mm-hmm. But then Blaze ends up goading Katrina out onto the apron. Katrina goes for a kick. Blaze catches her foot. She catches her foot, jumps off of the apron, and like rips her foot down, and she just Katrina slams face first into the apron.
Ooh.
So Blaze gets some momentum back with that. She hits a big underhook suplex on Katrina. There's just what they're going back and forth in the ring, trading elbows. And Katrina just absolutely rocks Blaze with one of her shots.
Ooh.
It was so rough. She rocks her with one of her shots, and while Blaze is like out on her feet, she trips her up and she hits the swing like Cesaro does.
Oh, nice.
To Blaze. Swings her around. And then after the swing, Blaze rolls out to the apron. Mm-hmm. And she's like trying to get her brain back together, I guess. And then she's on the apron. Katrina meets her there, hits her with a headbutt, which knocks Blaze for a loop. Blaze like ends up like laying across the second rope,
mm-hmm.
like stomach down.
Gotcha.
And Katrina just runs up to the top rope and just hits a huge guillotine leg drop.
I always like that, the way that this move looks. Every time anyone does it, because they just, like, flop off the rope or just get spiked into the mat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Blaze ends up kicking out of that, though. She ends up getting her foot on the rope because, you know, it was right by the ropes.
Of course.
Yeah. Gets out of that one. Then Blaze ends up going for, like, she gets back up, she fights back to her feet, ends up going for a crossbody. Katrina catches her, hits her with a big fallaway slam, just tosses her across the ring.
Ooh.
But then, out of nowhere, she hits this fallaway slam, and Katrina's, like, kind of, like, hyping up the crowd a little bit. She turns around, and Blaze just, like, cuts her in half with a spear.
Ooh.
Blaze just nails her with a spear. She goes for the pin, but Katrina does end up kicking out, even though it was a pretty nice spear. They end up fighting back to their feet again. Then Katrina hits a stunner on Blaze. Then after she hits the stunner, she goes up to the top rope, hits a leg drop from the top rope, and gets the 1-2-3 on Mercedes Blaze. So in the end, Heidi Katrina ends up taking this one home.
Nice. Sounds like a good match.
Yeah, this one, like I said, this one definitely exceeded my expectations. I was ready to go into this, like, be like, oh, I'm sure this is fine, but, like, I was impressed, you know? These two put on a solid match, and I was into it. It was a little short, it was only, like, 10 minutes, but, hey, it was still decent. I'm gonna give it a high meh.
High meh. Nice. Mm-hmm.
I was ready to give this one a low meh or a meh. I was, like, going in with, like, completely whatever expectations. We've seen Mercedes Blaze on this show before. I knew she was decent. I think we've seen Heidi Katrina. The name sounds familiar.
Heidi Katrina.
I don't know for a fact, though, if we've ever had a Heidi Katrina match, but the name does sound familiar to me. The
name sounds familiar, but I cannot recall if we've had a match first.
But this match was good. I'm giving it the high meh. Didn't cross that markout threshold, but these ladies definitely impressed me.
Nice. It's good to hear.
Yeah. All right, so what's your first match of the week?
Let's go with my women's match that I decided to pick.
Okay.
So I decided to go for Dream Girl Ellie versus Charlie Cruel at Flawless Women's Wrestling.
Flawless Women's Wrestling, cool.
Yes, good sounding name.
What is your process? What is your process when you go through finding these random promotions I've never heard of?
So basically the way it goes is that when I go to my search, I'm like, all right, I want to find a match with X wrestler. But if I can't find a match with X wrestler, I then find another wrestler from something related to them, or maybe like something, a match they did with another wrestler. And I go from there. And then when I get to the matches, I typically try to look for a match that is like kind of high in views, but like not like low, too low. And usually the matches that are like in the thousands or like the hundreds are usually where you get these types of promotions where it's like, I've never heard of this promotion. I also try to avoid, like, actively avoid picking Beyond all the time. Like, it's just an example of, like, a promotion I know will be good. I try to, like, look for other smaller, not really well-known promotions, you know?
Yeah, okay. I like it.
And then I find this match.
Okay, hit me.
So, the best way I can describe, this match starts off with, okay, I have to describe how they look. So, Dream Girl Ellie is got, like, this bright yellow, like, outfit on. She's an athlete, I can tell, just from the way that she looks. She's blonde. She's, like, you know, fine. Then you get to Charlie Cruel, who's got, like an all-black dress on. She's got, like, black makeup on her face. But she's, like, kind of like a child, if I were to describe it. She gives me Harley Quinn vibes, is a good way I could put it. So, like, the ref at the start, you know, wants to check each wrestler's gear before they start to make sure, you know, no one has anything, like, any weapons on them, you know?
Makes sense.
So the ref says, give me your legs so I can look through your boots. And Charlie's like, no, I want to play hide and seek.
Ref doing what the ref does.
And the ref is arguing with her until she's like, fine, I'll play hide and seek. And she, like, you know, jumps out of the ring, goes under the ring for like a second.
I want to play hide and seek.
The ref finds her and she's like, oh, you found me. So she jumps back into the ring. She finally checks her gear. She checks Ellie's gear, who's at this point kind of like, all right, come on. This took, like, an extra minute longer than it should have. This should have taken, like, 2 seconds, but okay.
Fair.
So Charlie walks up to Ellie and says, hi, my name's Charlie. And he's like, what's your name? And Ellie just gives her this look that's just unamused, the best way I wrote it here. Just like, nah, this is, what the fuck? So the two finally start to wrestle by Irish whipping each other, and then they, like, they start, like, dropping to the floor, and their opponent then, like, jumps over the other one back and forth until Ellie finally hits Charlie with a drop kick and then a nasty looking spear in the corner, which Charlie sells really well. Like, it sounds like the air just got expunged from her system.
Oi.
So Ellie continues to get her offense in on Charlie, but Charlie eventually gets out of it and then loudly announces that she wants to play patty cake.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to clap and chant patty cake, and the crowd's into it. They're like, patty cake. And, like, Ellie's got this thing where she's got her fist up, like, she's like, I want to punch you, but she's got her hand out to play patty cake. She's like, I don't know what I want to do here. Like, what the...
I what really want to punch on? You so bad.
But patty cake. And then, as she's about to, like, consider, like, you know, doing it, fucking Charlie just kind of snaps for a second, and she boots Ellie in the gut, and then uses her hair to yank her to the mat.
Mm-hmm.
She then beats Ellie on the ground, gets her in an armbar, and then yanks her hair back as she, like, wrings her arm. And then she goes back to just being nice Ellie all of a Charlie again.
Okay. Like,
Ellie tries to fight back, but Charlie maintains her control and her offense on Ellie in the corner. She grinds her foot into her face. The ref starts counting, and when Charlie stops attacking Ellie, Charlie loudly claims that she can count two, and she goes, one, two, and then she stops and goes, what comes after two? And the ref, and she asks the crowd, and the ref eventually say, it's three. Three comes after two. And she's like, oh, and then she tells the ref, oh, move out of the way for a second. And the ref's like, sidesteps, like, okay, and then she bounces off the ropes and hits two running knees through Ellie's face, and then a double knee to her face.
Damn.
Charlie just grinds Ellie down for a bit, but after a failed pinfall, Charlie locks in my favorite-looking move of the match, where she ties Ellie's legs up in an Indian deathlock, and then she bridges her back in an arch so that her head is right next to Ellie's head. I love this move. Zack Sabre Jr. does it. If you've seen him do it, it's just a great-looking move, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Ellie does get out of this, though, by... So it's because Charlie's face is so close to her, she locks in a chin lock, so Charlie's gotta let go. And then she mounts her comeback with a jawbreaker, some kicks, and then a chop to the chest. She goes to the top, but Charlie tries to stop her, and Ellie fights her off, and then hits her with a facebuster from the top rope.
Okay.
Charlie is then able face to
facebuster from the top rope? You just said that so casually.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, it looked pretty good. Facebusters, I always feel like, are like this weird territory of, like, they either look fantastic, and I love it, or they look not the best. This, unfortunately, was in the latter. Or the former? I don't know. So Charlie takes control with a stiff sounding kick to Ellie's head, which I remember me going, ooh, that was a good ass strike, okay. But Ellie kicks out at two when Charlie tries to cover, and then she's arguing with the ref about the count, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how I said she couldn't count to three? It happens again, where she's like, no,
great,
it's supposed to be one, two. And the ref's like looking at her, she's putting her three fingers, like, it's three. It wasn't a three count, but it's three. And Charlie's like, oh, yeah, it's three. And once she figures out the finish, it's three, it actually leads into the finish, where she picks Ellie up and goes for some underhook move that I assume was her finish. She said that playtime's over, I think, or something like that. But Ellie gets out of it and hits a bridging German suplex for the win. The bridge, by the way, on this looked fantastic. Like, this was some Charlotte mm-hmm. Flair figure eight shit, where I was like, damn, that looked great.
Okay.
This match was fine. The wrestling was pretty good at times, but there were definitely some awkward spots here and there that I kind of glossed over. I liked Charlie's commitment to her character a lot. Like, she really owned it, and it added some entertainment value to what normally would be, like, just a heel grinding down a face, which I guess is the point of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give this match probably a low meh.
Okay.
It's fine. I didn't love it as much. Like I said, like, there were, like, Charlie's character work was probably my favorite part of the whole match.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of it going, like, that was pretty good.
Nice.
It's fine.
Nice. Yeah, it did seem very character heavy.
Yeah, very much so. Like, there were bits here where I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, this is pretty good. I'm like, there are some definitely, you could definitely get some entertainment from this if you're into this type of, like, super heavy character work heavy matches.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got you.
So, I believe next you said is the match that delivered, right?
Next would be the match that delivered, which is a match from... where else but my favorite go-to on this show, Beyond Wrestling.
Yep. I won't go on the record before you go into this. It is so hard to find a match sometimes that's not Beyond Wrestling, because Beyond Wrestling has so many good matches that pop up on YouTube searches.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
stop with your quality, man. I need to find like the hidden stuff.
Whenever I'm stuck, Beyond Wrestling is definitely the go-to.
It's literally like the SpongeBob meme where it's like all reliable. Like you just whip open and you're like Beyond Wrestling.
Exactly. So this match is Beyond Wrestling. We have small strong boy John Silver.
Oh, my boy. Let's fucking go.
what was his thing? It's like small, like thick. Something and thick, I can't remember, right? There was something I can't remember.
There is. I remember this because when I did the Jordan Grace match with him, it was Thick Mama Pump versus the nickname that he had. Hold on, I can literally find this in 2 seconds. Continue, I'll find it.
Please do, because, so it's John Silver taking on Chris Hero.
Ooh.
So, two very big boys, but big in different ways.
Yeah, like, Hero's like, got like the size advantage, but Silver's is kind of like if you just took all the muscle from Hero and just condensed it.
Hero is like physically big, like tall and big. Silver is like wide. Like,
ah, I remember now. His nickname was the Meat Man.
The Meat Man, yeah.
Fucking love that nickname.
It's like short, wide, big. Like it's like two different kinds of big in this ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this one has a pretty slow start. It's mostly these two kind of getting in each other's faces.
Like, a lot of flexing, I assume, from Silver.
Yeah, what they do, they like Silver gets Hero in like a submission hold. Hero like runs him into the corner, and he turns around. He like pets Silver on the head, and he's like, "Good try, buddy."
And backs up,
and then Hero gets Silver into a submission hold. Silver backs him into the corner. Silver gets out of it. Pets Chris Hero on the head, and he's like, gotcha, you know, like, gives it right back to him. They're just, like, back and forth with this.
Oh, my God.
But then the match kind of starts taking off, because there's one point where Hero tries to hit a shoulder block on John Silver, and John Silver doesn't budge.
Oh.
And then Hero goes for another one, Silver doesn't budge. Hero goes for a third one where he bounces off the ropes. He gets, like, more than just one bounce. Hits Silver. Silver gets knocked back a little bit, but does not go down. Then Hero, of course, is like, you know what? You do it to me. So it was like, you want me to do it to you? And he's like, yeah, hit me. And Silver's like, okay. Silver goes to bounce off the ropes, but of course, Hero is about to play dirty, and he goes for like a pump kick. But yeah. Silver kind of like had like the soul read and like caught himself on the ropes.
Oh.
He had the soul read, caught himself on the ropes, runs up to Hero, hits him with, like, chops and elbows, and knocks Hero, like, back a little bit. Then he bounces, he runs the ropes, and he hits a leaping shoulder block that just knocks Chris Hero off his feet.
My God.
Just this small, like, giant, beefy man just flying through the air like a missile. To take out Chris Hero. Yeah. Yeah, bullet. He's like a bullet bill. With like the fists. Like, ha! Ah!
Yeah. Oh my God.
So he hits those chops. He hits that leaping shoulder block. He takes Hero down. Then he hits Hero with some huge kicks while he's on the ground. Some huge bows as he stands up. He goes to like. Do, like, the hip toss, like, not the hip toss, but, like, you know, like, the arm drag kind of thing, you know what I'm talking about? He goes to do that to Hero, Hero blocks it, shoves Silver off, and hits him with a pump kick.
Ooh.
And just takes Silver down. Hero slows down the match a little bit, does some holds here and there, just makes it methodical, you know, just hits him with suplexes, and just
smothering
starts
him, basically.
Exactly, yeah, like, slowly, just, like, he's smothering him, hitting him with some big slams here and there when he starts about to get back to his feet. There's one point where, they're in the corner, and Hero just elbows Silver, and Silver just crumbles. Like, this elbow sounds like it just, like knocks Silver's jaw loose.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Hero goes for a senton, which he did hit successfully earlier, during that time where he was working Silver down. But he goes for the senton again, but this time Silver gets his knees up. and gets some momentum back. He like starts pumping himself up. He hits a flying clothesline. Nice. He hits a flying clothesline. He ends up hitting those arm drags. And watching Silver throw around Chris Hero is like wild.
I can imagine.
Watching like, cause he's like I said, we all know Silver is one of the strongest wrestlers we know. Like, mm-hmm. he's huge, but he's like short. So yeah. Watching this tiny little man just yeet Chris Silver, sorry, yeet Chris Hero across the ring is like insane.
It's awesome.
Hero hits like an elbow and tries to get Silver into a suplex, but Silver reverses it, hits a suplex of his own. It's wild. Like I said, I've never seen Chris Hero manhandled like this in a match before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen him get thrown around. He's usually the one doing the throwing around.
Yeah.
Hero rolls out of the ring to catch his breath after that big burst of offense from Silver. Mm-hmm. And while he's out there, Silver goes to meet him. But when he does, Chris Hero just throws him into the barricade.
Mm.
Hits him with a couple of knees on the barricade as well. Throws him back in the ring. Hero rolls back in the ring, kips up. Silver comes to meet him in there. They go back and forth for a little bit. Hero goes to... He heads towards Silver because he wants to hit that elbow.
Yeah.
But Silver trips him. And he, like, lands on the second rope, like, 619 style.
Mm-hmm.
And Silver sees this opportunity, runs the ropes, hits a pump kick to the back of Hero's head. And then while Hero is knocked out on the second rope, Silver just locks his arms around his waist and just rips him over for a German.
My God.
Silver is so strong.
He's ridiculously strong.
It was wild watching him hit a German on Chris Hero.
But I can imagine.
Man, it was cool. Then he goes for like that German pin, you know, when they're like bridged over.
Mm-hmm.
Hero kicks out. Oh my god, I don't know how I'm getting them mixed up. Hero kicks out. Then Silver runs the ropes again. He goes for like a. It looks like he's going for like a tilt-a-whirl slam or a tilt-a-whirl DDT or something. Mm-hmm. But while he's going around, Chris Hero just like locks his arms around. Silver's like whole body while he's upside down and just hits him with a tombstone.
Oh,
my God. Goes for the pin. Silver kicks out again. Hero gets Silver up, goes for his death by elbow,
mm-hmm.
Loads it up. Silver like blocks it with his arms and like mm-hmm. shoves him back and just hits a huge discus lariat,
oh.
taking Hero to the ground. Hero fights back to his feet, hits the death by elbow, knocks Silver to his knees, hits it again while he's on his knees. Then he goes to lift Silver up for a pile driver, but then Silver gets momentum. He grabs Hero's legs, trips him up, and you know that pin where like you like have him by the legs and then you flip like over them and you're like
jackknife.
Yeah, the jackknife where like they're laying on top of them and they have their legs like that behind their head.
Mm-hmm.
He hits him with that, gets the 1-2-3, and John Ooh. Silver beats Chris Hero.
Ooh. Sounds like a fucking great match.
This match was awesome. I loved it. These two, I love matches where two guys just destroy each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like my two favorite kinds of matches is crazy lucha shit, like we've established last week.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I love just a brawl. Where people just punch each other, or kick each other, or elbow each other, slam each other until one just is down. You know?
Yeah.
Just two guys just slugging it out is another fight. Exactly one of my favorite kinds of matches. So I love this one. I give it a mark out. I liked it a lot.
Damn.
John Silver and Chris Hero absolutely killed it.
Good shit.
Yeah. Yeah, this match was cool.
Nice.
Part of me wanted a more, like, definitive ending, but then there's another part of me that was like, yeah, John Silver won! You know, like, yeah. I didn't care.
Ugh.
I didn't care. So let's get into your second match of the week.
Okay. I decided to throw back to a promotion I haven't reviewed on this show in quite some time. I went back to Limitless Wrestling.
Limitless Wrestling. Nice.
It's been a minute since I've been here, and I came here for one individual in particular, It's one of my earlier finds that I was very pleased to see that he was still doing well, and that would be Alec Price. I found a match with him going against TJ Crawford, a wrestler I've never heard of before.
Okay, okay.
So this match starts off really disrespectful and aggressive.
All right, like how?
These two, like, so if you know anything about Alec Price, he is the Prize City Fighter, right?
Okay.
Well, Crawford is from the Windy City of Chicago. So during their entry, as the announcers announce them, they are just shit-talking each other so much.
Okay,
it's
good.
Just it's hilarious to me. Like, they're like, it's like the Prize City is like, yeah, no, you ain't no city. Like, you ain't shit. He's like, oh, and it's just, they're just talking mad shit.
You ain't shit. You ain't nothing.
And then the moment the match starts, they get into a collar and elbow tie-up, and they just rip each other from corner to corner. Like, they just refuse to let go. It's like watching two male deers just lock horns and refuse to let go.
Nice.
When they do finally let go, Crawford delivers a few stiff kicks to the legs of Price, which, goddamn, this guy's got some fucking awesome strikes.
Okay.
Price then eventually, though, grabs Crawford's leg, and Crawford cradles him into a two count, and he stays in control after this with a stiff punch and drop kick that forces Price to retreat to the outside.
Sick.
Crawford then tries to flex on Price by baiting a suicide dive. Like, he runs towards, like, he's going to jump onto Price, but then he does a springboard handspring backflip onto his feet. And as he's, like, posing, he's like, yeah. Price, as he's flipping backwards, runs into the ring, and as Crawford looks, like, gets up onto his feet, he gets decked with a lariat.
Ugh.
Price then takes control.
Get back down.
He then stiffly beats him on the mat, drapes his neck over the second rope before slamming his leg into the back of his head. He then hits a swinging backbreaker after this, and Price just grinds Crawford into the mat. He really, and into the corner then too, he really punishes him for beating his ass at the beginning of this match. Price then props him up in the corner and hits a meaty chop to his chest, followed by a few jumping strikes of his own. We then get to probably my favorite spot of the match, which is after Crawford throws Price onto the apron when he gets out of the corner. So Price goes to kick Crawford through the space between the top and bottom turnbuckle, because Crawford's on the other side of the turnbuckle on the apron too, right? But Crawford catches his leg, flips him around so that now he's staring away from him and he's on the apron, all right? Still with me here?
I'm with you.
He then stiffly forms...
I'm losing you a little bit, but I'm getting there.
He's standing on the apron with his back turned to Crawford, and he's like, the turnbuckle is basically the only thing separating them, right? He forearms Price in the back of the neck, kind of.
Got it.
Price falls, slumps forward for a second, and then ends up falling, so he's now sitting on the apron. And then Crawford jumps over the apron, and he jumps over the top rope, and mid-jump, he just drop kicks him in the back of the neck again and sends him off the apron. Awesome looking spot.
Rough. That sounds brutal.
And Price,
I had my eyes closed. I was trying to picture it in my head. I was letting you paint me the picture.
I did. I spilled the paint a bit in the middle of that, but I think I got the picture. I think I got all the way.
I fumbled the paint a little bit in the middle there, but we got there.
It's fine. We got there.
It was like Bob Ross happy little accident.
Exactly. Happy little accident. So Price does get back into the ring eventually, but the moment he gets in, Crawford just is on him. He then tries to get him on his shoulder, but Price wiggles out of it and hits an awesome clubbing forearm to the chest of Crawford. Like, he kind of, how do I put this? He gets him in like a, I think it's like a hammerlock, but Price wiggles out of it and spins around, and he grabs him by his neck and forearms him in his chest, and then he puts his knee out so that his neck just slams into his knee. At this point in the match, you can see Price start to get frustrated through his facial expressions and the fact that he's now yapping like a fox.
Yeah,
like he's like, excuse? it's like the Filthy Frank meme where like it's just like incorrigible screaming, like just you can't even tell what he's saying. He's just yelling.
Zach, I do have a question though.
Yeah.
What does the fox say?
Oh my god.
That's still that has never been less relevant.
Yeah. True. All right, so after this, Price just is aggressively forearming Crawford. Like, the fun and games are over. He's, like, just straight slugging him in the face when he's on the ground. And this leads into him hitting a snapmare and then a chin lock on Crawford. Price transitions it into a even deeper chokehold and almost knocks Crawford out. Like, he's got his face literally grinded into the mat, and mm-hmm. the ref does the hand thing where he goes one, two, and at the very last second, he holds his hand up and he has the will to keep going thanks to the crowd.
I love that.
And as a result,
where they gets, like pick it up, drop yep. it. Pick it up, drop it, pick it up, and then they're like, ah!
Exactly. Yeah. He powers up.
My favorite.
He muscles his way out of it. The two then get into a strike off. They go back and forth for a bit until they get near the corner, and Crawford throws Price into it and just explodes with multiple strikes and chops to Price's chest, which looks about as red as a tomato now after all this. He then lifts Price up onto the top turnbuckle, only to then just to be like, you know what, I'm not going to be good at suplex you. I'm just going to dropkick him. He just dropkicks him in the face, which just sends him to the outside. Mm-hmm. And as Price is crawling away, Crawford then jumps to the top rope himself, and it's a huge flying clothesline off the top rope to the outside onto Price, but he hurts his leg in the process when he lands on it.
Yikes.
They get back in the ring, and Crawford stays in control with strikes, a huge arm drag, and a kick to the head, and then a brain buster.
Nice.
And after this, only gets him a two count. Crawford actually just kicks the shit out of Price while he's on his knees.
Okay.
But on his last kick, he does like the Undertaker finger across the throat. He's like, he's dead. This is done. And then he just kicks Price in the head.
Ooh.
Crawford then picks up Price in a fireman's carry, tosses him up. But as he's in the air, Price actually turns it into a leg drop.
Oh, yeah?
Looked awesome.
Not what I expected to hear.
Then Price screams, surprise, and then he goes for the surprise kick, which is kind of like Swerve's house call.
Okay.
Like the run-up kick to the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
But Crawford just enziguris him from the floor and hits him with I think it's an exploder suplex. The one where they have them locked in what's the word here? It's a full Nelson, and then they suplex him. I believe it's an exploder suplex, but it might be a
like Omega does?
Yeah.
The snap suplex.
So many suplexes, and I was just like sitting there. I'm like, what is the name of this?
Yeah, the snap suplex.
By the way, folds Price like a lawn chair. Like, he literally flips inside out so much that when Crawford goes to pin him and he pushes his legs down, his head actually pops back up and he can't pin him.
Oh, okay.
Like, he folded.
Congratulations, so, you played yourself.
After Price kicks out of this, Crawford drags him to the corner and just stomps a mud hole in him.
Okay.
But this then leads to the finish where Crawford gets Price to the top rope, goes for a superplex, but Price counters it with the grand prize, which is a Spanish fly DDT from the top rope, and then he hits the surprise kick to the back of his head for the win.
You know, anytime you say Spanish fly, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Looked great. I was actually, when you think about how this move looks in motion, you think to yourself, this looks very dangerous, and it is, but it looked awesome in this match.
Yes.
Price is then gloating in the ring. He's like, anyone, I dare anyone to challenge me right now. They come to this ring, this is my fucking ring. I'll teach you that I'm the man of this ring.
That can't lead to anything good.
Who but challenges him but one Ace Romero, who steps up and calls him out. And it's a callback back to the match because Price is like, I already beat you twice. You've only beaten me once. You're done. I've already beaten you. You get in this ring, I'll beat your ass a third time. Which calls back, because I watched these guys match that he's talking about where he beat Romero. It was a fucking slugfest that I gave a mark at, I think.
Nice!
I loved this match. I thought this match was great. The strikes were awesome.
So you saw the prequel?
I did, and I didn't even see the prequel before the prequel where Romero beat Price. These strikes were great. I enjoyed each performer's character work and facial expression. I think Price stood out a little bit, but that's because Price sounded like he was running on like 15 pounds of caffeine because he had so much energy in this match. It was ridiculous.
Fair enough.
Thought the selling was awesome.
Adrenaline does crazy things to a human body.
Mm-hmm. Crawford sold the leg well, such as in certain points the match had to take time in between to kick or have to hit his leg to get himself back into shape.
Mm-hmm.
I like this match a lot. I have it rated here as a high, Matt, and I think I'm going to stick with it for now, but I have this feeling that if I give this to you, you're probably going to give it a mark out, and I won't disagree
probably.
With you in the slightest.
It sounds like my
awesome.
Kind of shit. Yeah.
I'm so happy to see Ali Price is still wrestling, and he's still as great as when I saw him before. And TJ Crawford impressed me, too.
Some nice.
Good-ass wrestling.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, well, that's all of our matches this week. So let's get into the one we both took a look at. And, Zach, we have discussed some very serious, very intense wrestling matches on this show.
Yes, yes we have.
And of course, that is only going to continue with the match we both watched. couldn't even say it with a straight face. So the match we both watched was from Kaiju Big Battle.
So I think this is like a couple weeks back. I watched a O'Shea Edwards, whose nickname is the Big Bad Kaiju, and Mikey thought that I'd picked one from Kaiju Big Battle. So of course, when it was my turn this week, I was like, I got to bring it into this because I've heard of this, but never seen a match from this.
So we watched the match from Kaiju Big Battle. We watched American Beetle taking on Hell Monkey.
So, for those of you who aren't familiar with Kaiju Big Battle, Mikey, would you like to explain to them the concept of Kaiju Big Battle?
So, if you don't know what Kaiju Big Battle is, it is a wrestling promotion where the wrestlers dress up as kaijus, and kaijus are just like it's like the Japanese word for big scary monster. It's like it's basically like what Godzilla is, what King Kong is, what Mothra is. Those are all kaijus. So Kaiju Big Battle is the wrestlers basically dress up like their own kaijus. Like I said, we got American Beetle versus Hell Monkey, so it's a guy in a monkey costume.
He's got like weird, like he's got like these like light blue, like doctor. I call them like scrubs in my notes here on his pants.
Kind of, like, yeah.
He comes to the ring plastered, by the way.
Yeah,
like, he's fucking drunk.
So we got Hell Monkey dressed up like it's a guy in a monkey suit, basically.
He's got like a
psychic, like a bright red monkey suit.
Yeah, got like one eye. He's got like I said, bright like light blue doctor scrubs, and then he's accompanied to the ring by what I've described here as a posse of psychiatric patients in masks and Bear Ranger, who I looked at these names by the way, who is just basically the Yellow Power Ranger.
The legally distinct Yellow Power Ranger.
That is this man's posse. And American Beetle came out by himself.
American Beetle has a big beetle shell, a mask with like the big bug eyes, and like American flag shorts.
That he's like if Captain America was combined with Blue Beetle, but it was a bit bootleg.
That is the best description of that could have. I don't think that was the best description of that you could have possibly said.
Thank you.
Anyway, and then they fight in the ring, which has like fake buildings in it.
I love the fake buildings.
So
it looks
like they're fighting in a city, which is very funny. Mm. But yeah, it's just goofy. Can we really quick talk about
how
Hell Monkey came out to Smash Bros. Brawl? I think it was Smash Brothers Brawl music.
I have it written down as the character select for Melee.
Was it Melee? I don't know. It was Melee or Brawl.
One of the two, but the music in this match was choice. There was that when the match started, where I was like, I'm like, is this Super Smash Bros.?
It wasn't even just entrance music. Like, the entrance music, there was music playing throughout the whole match.
The other one I've noted that I remembered was when they started fighting, they played the fucking Mortal Kombat theme from the movie. I was like, whoever is the DJ of this has great taste in music.
They played Mortal Kombat. Yeah, and the ref with the music went 3, 2, 1, fight. And then I was like,
oh, I love that theme.
Oh my god, yeah. So they played music throughout this whole match, which I liked actually. I don't like when like there's because this match had commentary a little bit.
You could like hear it like in the background, like. Sometimes, other times, it was more towards the forefront of it, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Commentary definitely wasn't on the live stream. But there, I like having music. I like when it's not quiet, especially with a goofy match like this. I like that it had music over it. It just kind of sold it more for me. You know, it made it feel more like two kaijus fighting in like a movie.
Yeah, it reminds me of like one of those like I don't remember this, but I had like a game from the GameCube called like Godzilla Destroy All Monsters. It gave me vibes of that.
I remember that one.
Like it's just, like the music one. Going with them like brawl. Oh, thank God you remember that because.
Yeah. Okay. So all that aside, let's get actually into the wrestling part because they do wrestle.
They do.
They do end up actually having a wrestling match. These two.
So, I have written that they quickly go at it for a bit until Monkey, or Beetle hits Monkey with a German.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monkey gets up, but then passes out because of how intoxicated he is. And he's almost, the ref almost, like, deems him unable to continue.
They did the thing.
He administers a sobriety test to him to see if he can even participate. Well, and, like, well, as first, he's looking at
it. First, they did the thing to Monkey that we were just talking about with the arm dropping.
Oh,
like,
take
his arm up, drop it, pick his arm up,
that's
drop
right.
it,
did,
pick his arm up, drop
ground.
It, and Monkey, like, does the thing where he's like, I'm still in this! And then he gets up,
this.
And then they do a sobriety test to him to make sure he can go.
The guy's like, who are you fighting? And he just looks at Beetle and just socks him in the face. He's like, alright, he's good! Continue!
Yep.
So they go outside, and the monkey orders his minions to attack Beetle. So Beetle defends himself with a kendo stick and a mini atomic bomb, which he nails some dude with. Nails one of them with.
So the mini atomic bomb was just a Nerf football.
Pretty much,
it was like one of those like Nerf like Whistler footballs with like the tail on it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that they used to holy make. Shit. I forgot about that. Holy shit.
It was like those ones you used to get at like Toys R Us when Toys R Us still existed.
Mm-hmm. I think after this is probably my next favorite part of it. So like, Beetle's basically just bravely fighting off all of Monkey's posse with this kendo stick.
Yeah.
And he gets them, he goes into the crowd and gets them all in one spot. He climbs up a bunch of like wooden pallets and then just dives onto Monkey and his posse.
Can I just say,
awesome.
When it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. I agree with you. But when I heard we were watching a Kaiju Big Battle match, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't expect a spot like that.
Neither
did I. Didn't expect someone jumping off pallets onto a group of people in the middle of the crowd. That was sweet.
Yeah. No, I was like, I came in here expecting to see like the blow up dinosaur fight like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and instead I watched fucking Captain America and Blue Beetle jump onto a demon monkey in his posse.
Yeah, I was ready for like I was like you. I was like expecting like the blow up dinosaur costume.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad we got what we got, because it was actually like, it was funny, but it was also surprising. It was also kind of surprisingly a solid wrestling match.
Yes. So then after this, the two of them go around the ring and they start chucking in like these, like, I have them written as like these construction barrels, or like orange and white construction barrels that you use to like block off traffic.
Yeah, it's like those like really big, it's like those big safety cones, but like the ones that don't come, the ones that are like flat on top that cover like water barrels on like the highway.
Yes, that's
yeah,
it.
It's like those big ones.
So they're chucking them out of the ring, like just slowly filling the ring. And then we get to the point where the two of them are both on the same side of the ring and they're looking for the barrels, and they both look up and realize there's none left and they're just in front of each other. So Monkey's like, all right, test of strength time. And Beetle's like, all right, sure, I'll go for it. And they get sucker punched.
Yikes.
And then Monkey stacks up a bunch of barrels in the corner and then tries to throw Blue Beetle, or I was calling Blue Beetle, holy shit, Beetle into it. But Beetle tries to get out of it and throw Monkey into it, and he fails too. And then in the end, Beetle does get sent crashing into the barrels.
Yes.
Oh my god, and then we have
looks
the
very, it looks very good.
I loved this next spot because of how fucking I just love this next spot.
Okay.
So the crowd is pumping up Beetle because he's now getting up from being collided with all the barrels, and Monkey has now amassed all the barrels on the other side of the corner, and just basically like Donkey Kong, he just starts rolling the barrels of Beetle, who just starts hopping over them.
Yep.
Just one by one.
It's very good.
And then on the last barrel, Beetle jumps and Monkey fakes him out and jams the barrel over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved how they were like, I'm just going to keep throwing these barrels. It doesn't matter how many. Just hop over them. Fuck it.
Yep.
I just loved it was like pure entertainment value.
Exactly. It's like, it's good wrestling, but it's also very just goofy.
Mm-hmm. So Beetle has the barrel on his head and he ascends the top rope. Almost, he tries to fall backwards onto Monkey, but Monkey rolls out of the way. Monkey then cockily tries to pin Beetle, only for Beetle to counter it with a fucking grapevine ankle lock.
Yep, did not see that coming.
And then after Monkey crawls away to the ropes and gets out of it, he beats up Beetle a bit more until he puts him on the top rope and goes for a crossbody, but Monkey counters it into a cutter.
Which was hot.
Which, awesome. Again. And then after this, so I looked up, by the way, all of this, because I didn't know what the fuck was going on, Mikey. So
all the other kaiju. Yeah, so after this, a bunch of other kaijus from the promotion come out to the ring.
This would be Double Unicorn Dark and Tiki Rilla, who are part of Dr. Cube's posse, who Demon Monkey is also a part of.
I appreciate you doing the research. No, yes. It's Hell Monkey.
The minions are the doctor patients, or like the assistants that help Professor Cube, or Dr. Cube, create the kaiju in his posse, is from what I could tell.
Please get it right, it's Hell Monkey.
Hell Monkey, my bad.
No, you're fine. I appreciate you doing the research and finding out who interfered.
I was literally looking, I'm like, I'm gonna find out who these people, what these names of these are before I figure this out.
So
honestly, just made me want to see Dr. Cube now.
Yeah, so they all interfere, and instead of just beating up American Beetle, they pick up American Beetle. Two of Dr. Cube's posse hold American Beetle's arms, and Dr. Cube just pulled out like a...
It's not Dr. Cube, but Double Unicorn Dark pulls it out, because Tiki Rilla holds him hostage, holds him up.
Sorry, Dr. Unicorn Dark
Double Unicorn.
Fuck me.
It's a name. It's a tongue twister.
Double Unicorn Dark.
Yes.
Pulls out a like a spirally hypnotizing thing, and they end up hypnotizing American Beetle. And they tell him to just. What did they tell him to do? They told him to like do a frog splash off the top rope onto all the buildings.
Yep, onto a bunch of buildings.
Yeah.
And the crowd starts booing and they're like, "No, American Beetle, don't fall over their trap." He frog splashes through it.
Frog splashes through all the buildings. And then he gets up and they make him start running the ropes for some reason.
Yeah, because Monkey goes to pin him but then stops. He's like, "No, I want to humiliate this man more." And then Unicorn says, "Run the ropes forever," until Monkey just decides he's done with it. And he just shoves him mid-run onto the ground because he's only told to run the ropes, not mm-hmm. to stop himself from being pushed.
I like how he was leapfrogging over all the buildings too.
Yeah. And then Unicorn commands Beetle to freeze, which he does. Mm-hmm. Hell Monkey walks over and just pokes Beetle with one finger, and Beetle just falls right to the floor.
Monkey the pins poke him. Of cube.
And then Beetle is forced to leave with Dr. Q's posse, still hypnotized.
Unbelievable.
That's how we end this match.
Honestly, I don't know what I expected.
I don't know either, and it wasn't that. Like, when they all came out, I was like, oh, okay. And then the hypnotism came out, and I was like, it was literally the opposite. Yeah, the meme of the guy's like, I don't know what I expected, honestly.
Exactly, yeah. This match is like, it goes from like, meeting the expectations of silliness in the beginning with the Mortal Kombat music and like mm-hmm. the goofy spots between these two, like where he's drunk and passes out and they do like the sobriety test. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to like an actual intense wrestling match.
Yeah.
With
like
American Beetle
second.
Like jumping off the pallets. And then like, you're like, oh, this is like a real wrestling match. They catch him with like the flying cutter, the ankle lock. And then it just snaps right back into being like, oh no. Remember what promotion you're watching.
I was going to say, it's like the Eminem song, snap back into reality, but it's big kaiju reality.
Yeah, snap back into being like, hey, you're still watching a promotion called Kaiju Big Battle, so here's the funny, ridiculous ending, and it's like, right, that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. I think you described it best when we briefly discussed this. The best way I can describe this match for me is silly, but
it's
in
silly.
A great way.
It's just fun, you know?
It's just a fun match.
It's like if you go in, like you go into it, you know what you're gonna. It's like one of those things where it's like you know what you're gonna get, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know it's gonna be goofy. You know there's gonna be some jokes. What I wasn't expecting was all the actual wrestling that happened.
Yeah, this is a prequel meme. A surprise to be sure, but a welcome one.
Something something about sand. Anyway,
I hate sand. It's coarse and grainy and gets everywhere.
Thank you.
I know way too many frequent memes. I can go all day with this.
Anyway, what are we giving this one?
I think I gave this match a high meh for me.
I'm with you there. I also gave it a high meh.
Good
match.
It
was fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was decent. I had a good time watching it.
I may have given this a higher grade, but you have introduced me to such high quality, like, entertaining wrestling matches that I gotta keep it up with that bar. But it's still a high match. It's a great match.
Yeah, I heard about this promotion when we were trying to get tickets to the original, like, the first time we were trying to go to the collective.
Damn you, COVID!
The first time, yeah, the first time we were supposed to go to the collective before the October one, even, like, the first one that was supposed to be in Tampa. And Kaiju Big Battle was having a small event during WrestleCon, which Ryan wanted to go to for another show. And I was like, hey, if we're at WrestleCon and we're going to be there anyway, we might as well hit up Kaiju Big Battle because it seems fucking hilarious. And I'm glad we got to watch a match of Kaiju Big Battle on the show.
Mm-hmm. Same here. It's definitely a different world of wrestling, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not what we're used to in terms of wrestling, but still very fun nonetheless, I think.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, 100%.
Anyway, that is all of our matches this week, so that just leaves us with the Double Down.
The Double Down.
This is the segment of the show where me and Zach flashback to last week and watch matches from each other's perspectives. Zach, who went first in the Double Down last week?
I want to say it was you.
It was me, so why don't you kick us off with the match I gave you to watch?
Oh, baby. It's time for Old Reliable Beyond Wrestling.
Beyond Wrestling, my favorite go-to.
You gave me Jody Threat versus Atticus Coger.
Yeah, right. Dayton. Silver Teeth Satan himself.
Silver Teeth, my bad.
Either, same difference. Two.
So teeth. I actually looked up some Jody Threat because I wanted to see actually, I was at a mild curiosity to see what was going on her Twitter. And I learned while on her Twitter that her trainer is Josh Alexander.
Very neat.
And I was like, that would explain a lot in this match, actually.
I remember watching a Jody Threat match when we were at the Collective in October, when it was in Indiana. Mm-hmm. We saw a couple of Jody Threat matches.
I remember she was in the intergender matches.
Yes, and I bought a Jody Threat button from her, which I like a lot. And it's just a skateboard that says Threat.
Nice. You're the skate girl?
From your local skate park.
From your local skate park. That's it. I'm literally the announcer. I messed up the intro.
Right. I forgot he messes it up at first.
Messed it up.
He messed it up. Threat just glares at him and he's like, let me start over.
Yeah. All right. So I'll get into it. This is a very physical match that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the beginning of this match just does a great job of portraying the tone of this match. Like, Jody bum rushes and beats the shit out of Coger before throwing him into the opposite corner. And then after a little bit of fighting between the two, Jody lays him out with a lariat and he just says, fuck!
Yeah.
We're just like, fuck! And then, like, when he kicks out of it, he, like, retreats to the corner. And I was like, yep, that about sums up the match in its entirety. These two just beat the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how right after this, Coger slammed Jody face first into the turnbuckle via a flatliner.
Yes.
Which is a spot, again, which is kind of funny, I mentioned it today, that I feel like is either executed extremely well, and it looks like the person just ate turnbuckle and is passed out, or doesn't look that great, and it kind of just looks like they just fell face first and put their hands out and now are on the mat a little bit.
Yeah.
But this one looked fantastic. Like, Coger threw her face full force into there.
Yes.
I think I have the next spot I've written down here that point out that I loved was after Coger grinded down Jody for a bit. She got some offense in via a jawbreaker, and she tried to jump on him while he was draped over the middle ropes, but he dodged it and dangled her halfway into the middle of the ring on the middle rope, and then destroyed her with the springboard moonsault.
Which was very cool.
Looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I really liked was Jody's Falcon Arrow into the double knee to the back into a German suplex.
Yes, a very big burst of momentum for Jody there.
Mm-hmm. It's very well executed, very well, and had fantastic impact and speed to it as well that I was very impressed with, pretty much. Yes. Obviously, I'm noting it. Next thing I noted was the spike DDT by Coger, which looked brutal thanks to just how abrupt it was and how Jody just got planted, spiked into the crown of her head into the mat and just went out. I loved the spot where Coger got his skewers taken by the ref.
The ref was like, no, you're
not kidding. The
I
ref
refuse.
Was on him. And I loved how it made sense because you could hear Coger in here say how he should, they've been through this before. I get the skewers and I ram it into their head. And it makes sense. It suddenly occurred to me why the ref was so adamant about being on his ass and not on Jody. It's because he's seen Coger bend the rules like this before and do shit like this.
Exactly.
Which I loved.
He knew Coger was trying to be sneaky. He knew he would try to do this shit. This is his signature move, basically.
It is now after he beat Misawa.
Masada at he beat Masada at Spring Break.
It was Spring Break. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I also love the spear and F5 Jody did after this as well. Another great looking move between these two.
Yes, there was you know what I just realized? There was a lot of spears this weekend.
This weekend, in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I have what you're putting down.
The match you gave me ended with a pretty big one. We'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm. I really like the finish. I like the finish of this match too, because it's very much like it very much fit the match's tone. Like I said, Jody powerbombed Coger into a pin, and when he kicked out, she hit him with a torture rack bomb for the win. And it was pretty fitting because of how like it was just such a abrupt, just physical ending, which fit this match very well.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the wrestling of this match was well executed. I of course loved how physical these two are willing to get with each other. Like, it gave me this feeling that, like, these two really had a lot of history with each other and just did not like each other in the slightest and were just there to beat the snot out of each other, basically.
Yeah, it was, honestly, awesome.
I give this match a high meh, but I would love to see these two go for longer because if they did, it would probably be a mark out for me.
I agree.
Like, if they're willing to do it, like, put these two in a death match, let me see that, please.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Just like a no DQ or like an I quit match, I would love to see a match between these two.
Like yeah, that. I like this one a lot. I think I also gave it a high meh. And I also would like to see them go again at someday.
Mm-hmm.
So the match you gave me last week to watch was Vipress versus Ruby Reyes from Rogue Wrestling.
Ah, yes, the match that I got high on as I was reading it, and I gave it a high meh, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me know what you thought.
So this match is pretty solid. Like Vipress in the beginning was showing off, being annoying, of course, and then Reyes just grabs her by the hair and is like, no, no, no. We're fighting now. Vipress also kind of was not having any shit because Ruby tried to like pull her by the hair and Vipress was like, nah, and the two started like slugging it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Vipress actually had the upper hand in the beginning of this match, but then at one point she tries to hit a roll up and Reyes is like, no, 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 you're not doing that today. She says, no, 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 you're not doing that today. Then Vipress tries to like lock in like a headlock.
Mm-hmm.
And Reyes just, like, picks her up and runs her into the corner. Yeah. And while they're in the corner, Reyes, like, takes Vipress by the hands and, like, picks her up on the top rope and mm-hmm. just flings her over her head.
Oh.
That was awesome.
She, like, put her into the mat.
Yeah, and after that, Reyes basically takes control for the rest of the match. Like, there's some spots where Vipress gets in a little bit of offense, but really it's all Ruby Reyes this one. There's that one point where Vipress goes for the crossbody, Reyes catches the crossbody, tosses her feet onto the top rope, and then hits the neck breaker brainbuster kind of thing.
Oh yeah, that move.
The spinning brainbuster, which was super sick.
Yeah, it was.
That was awesome. After that where Vipress is like kicking Reyes, and Reyes just catches the foot and just power bombs the shit out of Vipress.
Oh.
And then Vipress stands up and Ruby Reyes hits one of the most insane spears I have ever seen.
Oh,
it
my
looked
God.
Like Vipress got hit by a truck.
Got cut in two.
Vipress just like gone. Vipress was dead. Like Ruby Reyes just it looked like she got hit by a train. Like
mm-hmm.
boom. Like
oh.
Absolutely ripped her in half. That gets the 1-2-3 and Ruby Reyes ends up winning this match.
Mm-hmm.
Because that spear was nutty. This match was shorter than I expected. But I did like it a lot.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. I think I'm with you on the high mat. I don't think it crossed that mark out threshold for me, but these two definitely put on a solid wrestling match.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah. I do remember that Vipress sold her ass off for a lot of Reyes' offense.
Yeah, Vipress was selling very, very well. And Reyes also, when Vipress did get offense in, Reyes also sold it very well.
Yes.
So these two were definitely not like trying to go into business for themselves or anything.
Yeah.
They both sold each other very well. They did it was a very solid, wrestling match between these two, and I enjoyed it a lot. So I thank you for recommending me this one. It was
no
pretty
problem
neat.
No problem at all.
I give it the high meh.
Yes.
That does it for all. We got through all of our matches. We got through the double down, so that just leaves the plugs. So thank you all for listening to another episode of this show. Stay subscribed. Go give us that 5-star rating over on iTunes. Let us know how we're doing over there. If you leave a 5-star rating with a comment, we'll shout you out on the show. Because the only way we know who you are if you leave a 5-star rating is if you leave a comment. So if you do that, we will absolutely shout you out on the show. Let us know what you think. We appreciate every single one of you. And if you have any match recommendations, also hit us up on the Twitter. Hit us up on the Twitter at CountOutPod, where we share our thoughts on the world of wrestling and the world in general. And we just generally like to hang out with that's where we like to talk to our fans, interact with everybody. So if you have any match recs, send it over there at CountOutPod. We will shout you out on the show as well if you give us a match to watch. And go check out all the other shows here on the Count Out Network, such as Hit the Books every Friday, where me and Ryan Knightsey book our own version of Friday Night SmackDown and Monday Night Raw every single week. And we're building up to WrestleMania Backlash, so go check that out. We got a big pay-per-view coming up we're very excited about. And go check out the other shows like Your Dose of Death every Tuesday and How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling every Thursday. And, of course, G1 and Only every other Monday. So thank you all for following and subscribing to the Countout Network. We appreciate every single one of you. And if you want to know anything else about this podcast network in general, go check out the site countoutpod.com. One more thing to plug. This is more of a personal one for me, but go check out twitch.tv/sigiledscryfish, SigiledScryfish. Over on Twitch, I have been streaming Pokemon Snap. If you're into that, go check that out as well. Zach, got anything to plug?
Oh, no.
I didn't think so. But before we let you go, before I have one last thing to say about this show, we're going to give you a little bit of sneak preview of next week for what you can get excited about. We got our matches picked for then. Zach, you want to tell us what you're bringing to the table next week?
Yes. I am bringing to the table, from Warriors of Wrestling, Nikki Adams versus Jared Evans, who we've reviewed on several times for various events from Effie's Big Gay Block, Brunch, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, we talked about him, I'm going to be also giving us a match of John Silver and his friend Alex Reynolds going against Mike Verna and the Big O at NYWC. And what about you, Mikey? What you bringing?
I will be bringing to the table... I got Candice LeRae taking on Joey Janela from AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling. That is a fun match that I'm very excited for because I love Candice LeRae's intergender stuff. And I like Joey Janela a lot. I liked what he's been putting out. Like what he's been doing with GCW recently. I'm a big fan of Janela. He's from our hometown, so how could I not love him? From AIW, so I'm excited to get into that one. And we got Rocky Radley versus Queen Aminata from Shimmer, and I'm very, very excited for that one.
Should be good.
Mm-hmm. And we will leave the last match that we are both bringing as a big surprise for you guys, so come check it out. If you want to know the match we are both checking out, you're going to have to listen to the episode, so catch that when it comes out next week. And now... that leaves me with one last thing to say, and that is to remember that there is a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.